You're listening to the Forest School podcast with Lewis Ames and Gemma Sutherden.
Hi folks, this week Gemma and I are having a little chat about Beltane, talking about what does Beltane mean, some stuff we've learned about Beltane, and kind of exploring why we think Beltane is as important to us now as it is. So I hope you enjoy it. It's only a short one this week. At the end, we've got a bit of a treat. Wim and I have done something a bit different because, you know, it's spring and we're feeling creative. So when you get to the end, you'll see what that is about. All right, enjoy.
Hello.
It's raining in the woods and it's the 1st of May.
Beltania. No? How do you say it?
I don't know. I just say Beltane.
Oh. I saw another one that was like the Gaelic word for it.
Yeah.
Which was like...
Something else.
Something else. Began with a C.
Ooh.
And they were saying that it was... Like, that was the Scottish origin of it. But then I also saw something that said that there was a Roman, like, festival on the 1st of May.
Oh, yeah?
That was called, like, in whatever Latin it is, basically called, like, the Flower Festival. Like,
okay.
It was called, like, Florentia or Florent.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're just jumping in.
We're talking about
Beltane.
Yeah, we're talking about Beltane, we're talking about May Day. Before we talk about, like, historical origins and stuff that we've read,
yeah.
Like... Can we talk, because I think when we started doing Forest School, we weren't really into these like seasonal festivals so much. It's something that's evolved through our practice.
Yeah.
And can we talk about like why that has happened and what do you think the point, you know, why do we do it? Like, can we talk about that?
Do you have something ready to go?
I think that it's the kind of thing where you're doing like reading about nature connection and trees and all this kind of thing, and then through those bits of reading, you can't escape really these like older Celtic,
the like
you know, pre-Christian festivals,
okay.
Beltane, Samhain, all these in bulk, all those things come up through tree lore, I think, and plant lore. If you're reading about kind of trees,
yeah,
and folklore and things like that, so I think that's probably where I first became aware of all these things. Apart from like, well, May Day is a bit more of a well-known one, isn't it? But you wouldn't have necessarily heard the word Beltane unless you moved in certain circles or read certain things.
Yeah.
And so then first of all, it was just like a personal awareness, and then I started kind of marking them a little bit with my family, but not in a massive way. And then we did a podcast with Jenny Archard, so listen, if you haven't listened to that one, that's like a good talking about the wheel of the year and all these kind of things. It was about a year ago now, I think, that we did
that. I think
that.
It was a while ago, yeah.
And then we kind of decided to move our family events. So we have these kind of one-off family sessions we're doing on this afternoon. And we moved those to be in line with Beltane, Imbolc, Samhain. And we don't do one in the winter at the moment, do we? Because it's 21st is a bit like...
Yeah, it's a bit close.
Yule's a bit close to Christmas. And I was kind of reading something about Beltane yesterday, and saying that if you're kind of new to celebrating these kind of things, but maybe you want to, but you don't really know where to start, that yeah, there are all the like historical traditions of Beltane, but you don't. There's not like a you have to do this. This is the tradition.
Yeah, it's all wobbly.
Yeah,
it's all
you
grey
can choose
around the area.
Yeah,
and,
you can choose how to mark it if you decide you want to. And that it could even just be a conversation with your family, with your children or whatever, in terms of like, oh, it's May Day, it's like the traditional beginning of summer. And that if you're kind of just doing something because it's May Day, whether that be we're going for a picnic or we're going to get up really early and listen to the birds or we're going to light a fire in the garden because it's May Day, and it doesn't even have to be the same thing every year.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, yeah, but what, like why? What's the point? What is the benefit if you're looking at like children, for example? And I was reflecting, thinking that since we started doing it, which is probably about three or four years ago, that it's another kind of anchor point through the year to help to understand the passing of time.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got like Christmas, you've got people's birthdays, and so for children, like the year is like epically long, and things change, and but it's like a real long haul journey compared to for an adult. And so you've got these, like, the more anchors you can put in terms of like marking, this is a day that we that we make important in some way, even if it's a different thing every year, is like really, really helpful and something to kind of look forward to and go, like, okay, do you know what I mean? In terms of going, well, next weekend it's May Day, and then after that, then it's going to be this. And I think it's really, and it's really nice to spend those moments of kind of gratitude and noticing. So it's a real, like, well, why? And that's the nice thing about these seasonal festivals is that they're so intertwined with nature and like moments of change that it kind of invites you to actually take notice of the change that's happening around you. So even if you don't have any kind of, well, spiritual is a weird word, isn't it? Because it means so many things to different people. Yeah. But if you're kind of looking at that spiritual meaning, nature connection type vibe, then that's why I think they can be really beneficial. And so you don't necessarily have to have like really strong pagan links yourself or knowledge about it to choose to mark these festivals. You do it in whatever way suits you, but I think it's really nice for that reason.
Yeah, I think for me, it's moved, it's almost like, it's been a bit of a journey of like, genuinely putting the cart before the horse, and then the horse has moved now to being in front. And what I mean by that is like, when we started doing this, it was like an,
this is a weird bird noise over there.
When we started doing looking at these festivals, it felt like it's a bit fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Like I was aware of like, these things are like sort of they're being talked about in the circles that I'm moving in. Okay, let's look, put them on the calendar and maybe they'll do the thing. And like, and then you start to look at them and go, okay, this one marks the beginning of winter. And just that, like, I can't remember what the word is, but you know, like when you learn about a new thing and then you see it everywhere. So that effect happens of like, you learn that, or something triggers that you go, oh, it's winter now. And so then for a few weeks after that, my brain was very like, oh, there's a sign of winter. There's a sign of winter. There's a sign of winter. And yeah, it just gives you something to focus on and actually something to sort of like, is they're always positive.
Yeah.
It's never like, oh shit, winter's coming. It's going to be boring. It's going to be cold and get ready for the shit. It's
right.
Like,
I think
the
you're
positive
right.
of like, look at the rebirth and look at the, this food is coming out and this is the time when this happens. And like, they're all positive, which is true of most celebrations.
I think that's a really important point to make because I've felt much less depressed about the onset of winter since thinking about these festivals. I really have. And thinking about, especially in the winter ones, about like life starting underground. So it's not that nothing is growing. Actually, loads is blooming happening. It's just that you can't see it yet. And that thing about Imolc being the earth being pregnant, that was a real like eye-opening moment for me, I think. Because February still feels really harsh.
Yeah.
But actually, everything's there. Like it's pregnant. Yeah. It's waiting to happen. And that's so much more exciting than just going, oh my God, when is spring coming?
It's a good frame. I think it's a good mental, like mental health, mental well-being frame to have that in your head rather than... And I think that's what people talk about when they're saying like, oh, the disconnect from nature can make you feel really, you know, more seasonal affective disorder, more whatever else, because the visibility of stuff happening is less. But that then leads, so I think that's where we started is like, okay, let's learn about these festivals and then we'll do them. And then now I feel like the last, I'm going to say 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half, coming into the woods, I've noticed it first and gone, oh, it's changed, it's woken up, something's happened. Oh, I should like mark that. And I've been trying to say to the kids like, hey, isn't it great? Like, look at all the green. Hey, do you notice anything's different? And actually what that is I'm slightly ahead of the festival. So I'm just going like, these things are happening. And where I'm trying to mark it with conversations of like, guys, look, the bluebells are growing. Guys, look, the snow. You know, actually, it already exists. The tradition already exists of like, right, let's all get together. Look at all the new stuff. Let's all do that. So yeah, I think before it was learn about the thing, then notice the changes. Now it's like, notice the change. My body and being starts to be like, oh, I bet there's a celebration of this coming up soon. And I can sort of, because I'm not good with date calendars. But yeah, and I think actually as well, so there is something here. I was reading about like the recorded celebrations of Beltane and stuff, and that like there are still recordings of it in
there's like the 1850s going on, like proper these towns, it is their celebration. I think the ones I looked at, it was like Scotland were doing it. And it occurred to me that that is probably similar to why we've got more into it, is that like we've moved our practice from going around lots of different sites, from doing all different stuff, to being like, we're here, we have a base, we have a, like, that connection with space. And like when I read about the history of festivals and stuff before, and you know, you read like, oh, it's very big here, and then it died down, and then there was a resurgence, and then actually I'm now looking at all those historical things and going, oh, you're only writing down what the upper classes are doing. You know, that thing of like the priests and stuff and the government who would have been the upper class in 1,000 years ago, they were doing this festival. And then as you move through, the upper classes move away from nature connection because cities start to get bigger because all these things. But actually, if you could find a recorded history of working people, people who still work in the land, these festivals don't go away.
Yeah.
It's not like a, oh, it's had a resurgence. Like, no, it's just people never wrote, or people rarely write down about, like, the commoners.
Yeah,
unless
yeah.
it's that, like, what's the thing in, you know, like, period dramas, and particularly in France, I think they used to do this, where they would, like, have, the elites would have big parties where they dressed as peasants, and like, oh, it's like Marie Antoinette or something had, like, a gold milk yoke.
Yeah.
And like, oh, aren't we funny to be the peasants? But there's something about that, you know, that like this stuff hasn't gone away, and actually we've just moved into that nature connected space that is less recorded.
Yeah, well, I've got this cool book called The English Year, A Month-by-Month Guide to the Nation's Customs and Festivals from May Day to Mischief Night by Steve Roud. And that, it kind of is a bit of a like summing up of lots of historical sources and like, you know, diaries that people have
I am listening, I'm just going to put wood in the fire.
Go on, go for it.
Okay, so it's got, yeah, little bits of diaries from 1800s and things like that, and the earliest comment about the celebrations of May Day are from 1232, I think he says, and they are already complaining about, like, mischievous things that are happening on May Day. So, saucy things, lots of sauciness, lots of, you know, going out and maying, and it's talking about the regional variations in what going a maying means.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying almost everywhere in the sort of recorded stuff, it's about going and gathering greenery and saying that, you know, every house in the village or town would have a birch bough above their door or next to their door, or gathering flowers and then taking like a garland around the houses and things like that. So that's like a definite kind of all across the nation, going and maying is like going and gathering green stuff. But there's also about going and like bathing your face in the May dew, and also getting pretty frisky in the May dew early in the morning. And one person...
Oh, that's... I mean, it's warmed up, but it's not that warm in the morning
isn't,
yet.
Isn't that kind of ancient? Well, talking of that, then another thing that's recorded is about don't take your coat off until May. And that being a really ancient, like, saying. Like, you may think that it's warm enough to take your coat off, but blooming don't, because you're going to get super ill.
So with your coat on, you've got to splash your face in morning dew.
Well, maybe with your coat off for the
first time.
How
long are these coats?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I mean, just how long does a coat go down? If you've got to do some maying, but you've got a long coat
on.
Well,
no, that's what I'm saying. You don't have it on. Casting clouts. The well-known phrase, cast ne'er a clout till me is it. Cautions people not to cast off their winter clothes until they're sure that summer is with us.
Oh, okay.
But the whole the question I had when we were thinking about this topic is pre the calendar that we have now. Gregorian, Sisterian. Well, what is the calendar we have now? It's quite new.
Gregorian.
So before that, when was May Day? That's what I was interested in thinking, because like you can feel like today, I feel like there's like a resonance in everything, like the whole world, like nature knows it's May Day type thing.
But
it, of course it doesn't, like that's our
human
thing. But when was Beltane, like before the calendar that we have now, was it still on this day, or was it the 1st of May, which was actually 2 weeks ago?
No, because the calendar came, a lot of the calendar, as far as I'm aware, this could be absolute horse But the Romans kept putting extra months in, right?
I don't know.
So this Beltane, as far as I've read, is about at least 1,000 years old, probably older.
Yeah.
If you think about, you know, it is spring. That's all we're celebrating.
Yeah.
So that's got to be older than 1,000. But yeah, like June and July are named after like Caesar.
Yeah.
And August is Augustus. And like they used to just ram extra months in and just be like, he was pretty good. Why don't we rearrange the whole fucking calendar so we can have like Lewis month?
I guess so the hawthorn tree is also known as the May tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about when that tree blossoms and like going and collecting that blossom specifically. So I guess you can kind of regionally, you know, when you see that blossom happening, you all go, hey guys, like, let's all celebrate on Saturday because the May's out now.
Do you think that varies then compared to something like the solstice, which is like northern hemisphere?
Yeah.
That is your solstice, right?
Yeah.
Bang. Whereas there's some, like Beltane, they have this like wobbly window of like, by the end of April.
I don't know. I wish I knew.
Because there's some regionality there of like, if you're in southern Italy, the what we're saying, like that resonance thing might kick in earlier if you're in, you know, Sweden. Oh no, Gaelic stuff doesn't go to Sweden. Do you know what I mean? If you're in Northern Europe, getting up into Scotland, then that's going to feel later, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I would like to know that. But other customs, do you want to hear some other customs that happen on May Day?
Sure.
Ducking and dipping. So unless you've got the protection of a bit of May, so hawthorn blossom or leaves, in your lapel or somewhere about your clothes, in Devon and Cornwall, if you didn't have that, then that gave everyone else a license to chuck you in the pond.
Well.
Just kidding. And that's unique to Devon and Cornwall, apparently. Fighting. Good old wrestle.
Yeah.
Good old bit of fighting in Shropshire and Wiltshire. You know, every hamlet having their fighting man. Do a lovely bit of, duffing each other up. Decorating horses. Lovely.
Right.
I feel like that could be quite ancient. You know, the Iceni, Boudicca's tribe, their sacred animal was a horse, wasn't it? And then there's the political stuff about, Jack in the Green. Jack in the Green, dressing up a person in all greenery things. So that's a bit like Canunnus.
Yeah.
Talk about him a bit. Go for it, Lewis.
Well, so Canunnus is the pagan god of like nature and the woods, and also medicine a bit, I think. Because he had a horn, like a snake with horns, was his pet. And I think that is one of the things that then moved into, you know, the medical bracelet symbol is a snake. So he is on, there's a big pillar in France with like Celtic carvings on, Gaelic stuff, and he's on there. So he's a bloke with big antlers. And
Is that really old then?
Yeah, that's like really, really fucking old. So then his like story is then that when it became Christianized, they need to like stop people going to the woods for medicine because that's not helping people go to the church for medicine. And so they were like, we're going to invent this really evil guy who's got horns. And that's why in the West, we have like the devil is like a horned person with, you know, his potential, you know, big long beard and all this stuff.
You probably want to stop people going to the woods to do saucy things on May Day as well, don't you? Because you want them to actually get married and in the church rather than do the devil's work in the woods on May Day. And doesn't that tie
sounds
in
sounds like
with
a good country album, though.
What?
Doing the devil's work.
Doing the devil's work in the woods.
In the woods.
That kind of ties in with our podcast the other day with Nick as well, doesn't it? About the woods being transformative and stuff. Just going back to Jack in the Green, which they still do in Hastings. I've been to the Hastings celebration once. Just a person dressed like a massive bush or tree.
Amazing.
Dancing around through the streets. And there's a bit of an extract from a guy's diary from growing up in London in the 1860s, and they were still doing it then. It says, walking along Jamaica Road, I saw what looked like a big bush hopping from one side of the street to the other and bobbing up and down. This being the first time I'd seen a Jack in the Green, it scared the life out of me. And he's dancing along with like milkmaids dancing down the street.
Brilliant.
It's like, and bears, people dressing up as a straw bear. Have you seen videos of that? Ben Edge is an amazing ink artist who's trying to kind of explore English folk art. You can follow him on Instagram. He's got some really cool paintings that he's done, and also little videos where he's kind of travelling around England, documenting these old customs. Yeah, and straw bears are hilarious. It's like someone looking like a haystack, brilliant, wearing a suit made out of hay and straw, just
love it,
dancing around as a straw bear. Do you think we could ever do that? How far along are you come to see us in like 10 years time, and you know, the nearest home ed session to May Day, you know, somebody wants to be the straw bear and we decorate them in straw and they dance around the woods.
I'm not so well, I think
I am joking.
No, I know you're joking, but I'm thinking about that as a serious thing, and I'm wondering whether that links to, you know, we've been saying in the last podcast we were talking to Nick and saying about like people coming into an established group and all of that stuff, and like that is definitely one of those things you've got to nudge there inch by inch as a community towards straw bear, because if you
of course
it becomes, and this is a thing that I do want to talk about. So like I think that's where it for me at least moves into being exclusionary. Mm-hmm. It's not exclusive, that's the wrong word, but like excluding, it's the opposite of inclusive, because there's too much of a weight on like, do you not know about this ancient custom and the calendar and the you know, you're piling this stuff on, because like if you don't know this, we're going to gatekeep from you or make you feel worse for it. And there's also like that's my own personal like scale there of going, that tips for me, whereas for some people just the fact that there is a Caucasian European festival is like, well, this is exclusionary because it doesn't come from, you know, like if you're going to do this but not do this. And
that's a really important point to make, like what do you choose to celebrate and why,
and what, and doing it, I think, I know I say this a lot, but like trying to do things intentionally. And that is, I think, one of the biggest things about, like, part of why we're talking about this now is, like, verbalising why we're doing this, but our celebration of Diwali is much lower key. Mm. And there's something, at least for me, about, like, connection to place. Mm-hmm. And, like, this woods, I'm going to be real hippie wanky now, this woods has probably only ever had Diwali celebrated in it with us, right? And so for the other living things here, it doesn't feel like they're connected to it, whereas when I think about like, oh, I'm such a hippie, like the ground and the trees and the old things here have had people celebrating you know, Beltane with them, you know, they're part of the community for 1,000 years. That feels like there's something that resonates, is just the word I can think of, like it resonates in a different way than and that's not just
I do know what you mean, and I feel like there's something about Forest School generally that does kind of look to the past, because you are living in a way that is more aligned with the past a lot of the time. You know, you're probably going to be in a setting without electricity, without running water. A lot of the stuff you're going to be doing is quite primal. And so I think all of these actions that we're doing, all of the play cycles that we're involved in, feel so old that I think that is what gives you that kind of hearkening back to the past.
And do you think it would change if we, so if you and I up sticks now and we went to like, let's say we completely up sticks and we went to like
a city park?
No, further than that. Let's say you and I went to South America and we're going to set up in South America. I would feel like, I imagine, because we haven't done that, I don't have that experience, but like I'd imagine if we were there, Southern Hemisphere, different environment, all this stuff, if you and I then went, it's Beltane, it wouldn't, I don't imagine it would land the same with the woods, with the communities, with all those things. You would have to go, what, like, it's like recognising that we're a very small part in, actually what we're celebrating is a big natural change, and the nature is as much a part of that celebration. The nature is the birthday person
yeah
that we're all singing to and we're all coming round to, And yeah, I'm waffling.
Yeah, no, but I know what you mean, and I think it's a really, I feel like there's room there for a huge piece of research, yeah, you know, amongst forest school practitioners and participants about, yeah, why we harken back to past and traditions and what, yeah, what we choose to celebrate. I think it's I think it's really interesting, and there will be some practitioners who don't, you know, feel this way about past traditions and ceremonies. And there are some people who are way further down the line for whom it is a real, you know, crux of their practice. Yeah. And we're kind of somewhere in the middle.
We're definitely nudged one way more than the other, though.
You think now? But it hasn't always been that way.
No, definitely not.
And also, we don't, like today, we've got families coming, but we don't tend to go, everybody, it's, you know,
I'm a fucking bear!
Exactly.
Look at
exactly.
me! Exactly. You know, it's, yeah.
It's subtle. You know, if you, yeah, probably if you already know about it, then you see it. But if you don't,
well, that's where I think our role in these things is. I'm just going to absolutely link back to what we were talking about last time. And like, we're there to be the guides, be the handhold, and like, gently show this festival.
If you want it.
If you want it. That exists, rather than like,
yeah,
come on, we're doing it. Yeah. You're in or you're not. You know.
Yeah.
I'd be really interested to hear how people listening are, if anyone's doing anything for Beltane.
Yeah.
What people's relationship is with Beltane. We do really like hearing from people and like the messages of people going like, oh, this is, I do this. And if you are one of the people that's got in touch, you know that we will probably end up waffling with you over, yeah, like, you know, if you message our Facebook page or you send us on Instagram, we will probably waffle back,
yeah,
and go, this is incredible. What do we do about this? And so like, please do get in touch. I'd be really interested to know.
Absolutely. And I feel like though, I think, I don't know if it's just the circles that I move in, but I feel that there is a growing connection to those older festivals just amongst the general public. You know, there are like new sides of Morris dancers like setting up.
You
know,
showed me them the other day, didn't you? Yeah.
You know, modern all-female Morris sides, and you know, who,
and,
celebrate these seasonal things a lot more.
Yeah, I was going to say that's actually another thing that I don't know that we've got time to go into it today, but it's like, we talked at the start about the not needing to take the festivals wholesale and going, it's either all of this or you don't celebrate Beltane at all. And like, that's something that as we look back at our past celebrations, I don't mean our, I mean, you know, culturally, you've got to be able to go, this and this and this, I'm going to carry this forward. This thing is kind of racist, or like, this thing is kind of sick, or like, I'm not going out in the morning dew, right? I'll be honest, because there's laws now that weren't there then, right?
And you got enough kids.
I got enough kids. It's fine. And I do think we need to be open about that. And that's part of this conversation, like having a conversation with anyone that you're going to celebrate it with and go, this is why I've chosen to do these things.
Yeah.
So that you can, because I think that's when you catch yourself, for me at least, when I talk about why am I doing these festivals. As I'm talking it, I quite often catch myself and go, because we're going to do this because we get, that's not all right, is it? No, I hear it now, and we're going to change that, and we're not going to do that thing, or, you know, just being okay with that. Right, I'm going to go again because I need to put more wood in that fire.
Can we just say that we're doing our next Forest School Level 3 training? Can we talk about that?
No, yeah,
because that is still in this month of May. It starts in May half term. And we do still have some places left. If anybody is thinking, oh, is now the time? The answer is yes, now is the time. Come join us in our beautiful woods and do your level three. If you know anybody who's like toying with the idea, we only do two a year. And this is the only one that we do that is in the school holidays. Yeah. So if you're somebody who needs to just spend 5 days completely immersed in it and just, yeah, do the first bit of practical all in one go, we would love to have you along.
And like, get in touch if you're like, oh, I'm definitely not there. I've just, you know, I've been a parent for this long, or I've only ever volunteered. Just like, if it's something you want to do, get in touch and we'll talk to you through it and try and find the right thing for you to do.
Yeah.
You know,
you might think you need to be an absolute qualified teacher with loads of experience. Don't necessarily.
No.
Have a chat with us. As Lewis says,
yeah,
we'd love to meet you in person.
Happy Beltane.
Okay. Happy Beltane. Blessed be. Blessed be.
Right, here we go then, folks. You made it to the end. Short one this week, but there's some juicy nuggets in there. Right, so like I said, Wem and I have been pretty creative, and we decided we've been singing a lot of songs with our groups at the moment, and we've been singing other people's songs, and we thought, why don't we have a crack at writing some of our own? And it just so happened Wem and I have both written a song in the last couple of days, and we thought it would be a bit of fun if we put both of them on here for you guys to have a listen to, and we want to know which one's a tiny bit competitive. If you want to jump on Facebook, jump on Instagram, just whack an emoji in there. I have written a song about a tawny owl because I found a little baby tawny owl this week. So if you reckon that my one is the is better one, and you definitely will, then just whack a little owl emoji in there. And Wem has written a song about the beech tree, queen of the forest. So if you're liking Wem's, then whack a little tree in there. If you like both of them, whack an owl and a tree in there. We just want to know, we're just big silly children who are slightly competitive about the songs we've written. So I'll play them both now, and hope you enjoy. See you guys.
Queen of the forest, beech tree green, you are queen of the woods. Beautiful branches full of grace, lending your magic to this place. Beech tree green, you are queen of the forest, beech tree green, you are queen of the woods. Furry soft leaves fluttering, tasty to queen of the forest, beech tree green, you are queen of the woods. In autumn your beech mast falls to the ground, feeding the animals all around. Beech tree green, you are queen of the forest, beech tree green, you are queen of the woods. Beech tree green, you are queen of the forest, beech tree green.
Tawny owl, silent on the wing, watching over meadow, copse and spring, sleeping deep in the mighty oak, calls in darkness out to their kinfolk. Tawny owl, silent on the wing, watching over meadow, copse and spring, sleeping deep in the mighty oak, calls in darkness out to their kinfolk. Only owl, silent on the wing, watching over meadow, copse and spring, sleeping deep in the mighty oak, calls in darkness out to their kinfolk.